Live from JFK, this is the Mike and Abe show, and I'm Abe. And Mike has been very busy lately. He's been driving his face off, okay, but he's actually at JFK.
The face is there, but the ass is gone. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh. Are you allowed to say ass on the air? I think that's a clean word, right? You know?
It's the internet. You can show your ass on the air.
Well, nobody wants to see your ass, Mike. Okay?
This is true. I'm not one. Yeah, that's a bad visual image for radio.
All right, so listen.
Getting back to it, we are live. We're taping live, and I'm at the, I don't know what the legalese is, but I'm at JFK, the City of Magic, City of Light, with seagulls and birds and cabbies and everything crazy is going on here. So I got a little downtime to do the show, so let's rock and roll. What you got?
Well, what do I got? Here's the big headline this week is Uber cuts fares.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing with the Uber cut fare routine. They apparently, and we have it on our message board, that they cut their fares by 15% to their drivers. And what that means, in my opinion, is I think it's just a shell game for them to pump the surge pricing. Because now they're going to have a shortage of cars because they're charging so cheap. And it's going to go straight to surge because that's what the algorithm does that they have when there's a car shortage for their company. So it's a yank. So
basically their fare cut is a fare increase.
Right. Their fare cut will mean less like regular price cars, and then it'll jump into surge. So that's I guess that's the new life in the third millennium. But I know the drivers, I did the math. And basically, they have an $8 minimum now for Uber X, which is like the little black Camry. And now that will be about $7.
Right.
And after the Uber 20% cut and the state tax 8.75% cut, and then there's a black car fund thing of like 2% or something, they're going to have to pay 31% off the top of that $8 fare before gas, car expenses, insurance. So they're going to walk away with like the cash equivalent of $4 every time they get up a 2 mile ride for Uber X. So I don't like that kind of party. That's ridiculous.
Uh huh. So basically, the Uber drivers are going back to the yellows because they got to make some money, right?
Yes, in droves. I mean, it's been I just managed to get a nice little deal from one of our guys. Can I say I'm on the air? Like, we got the deal from?
Sure.
From Checker, the guy on the front lead page of the website.
Yeah.
And he gave me a nice little Camry deal, 32 miles a gallon. I alluded to this on our website. But this Camry deal, you know a couple of Camry deal guys, and this Camry deal would have been like a $5,000 or $6,000 deposit 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got it right under the wire. I got a good weekend driver finally, thank God. And that's why you were yelling at me for a month, because I was driving the damn thing myself for 30 straight days.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike is overworked. He's been driving round the clock.
You forgot the last part of that. Overworked and underpaid.
Yeah, underpaid because we need a fare increase.
We do need. Well, I put that on the site also. Now, this is another thing with the taxi commissioner at Joshi, I believe her name is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's talking about she doesn't want to give the yellow cab drivers a fare increase because she's worried about the competition. It's like, listen, let me worry about the competition. There is no competition, all right? People like yellow cabs, and they're apparently willing to pay triple the meter for Uber. So if we just want to get like a little inky-dinky 15 or 20% fare increase, there are going to be more cabs for our customers. And what's the problem? And I don't know if they are like in love with Uber, or if they're in bed with Uber, or what they're doing with Uber, but they keep jumping back to this competition thing, and it's very annoying. What do you think?
Well, speaking of competition, some of the yellow drivers are complaining that Uber's fare decrease will undercut their fares, and they still have to charge the same. And Joshi has even said, you know, in the newspapers, I don't know that she actually said it, but it's being reported that she said that the TLC can cut the fares of the yellow cabs.
Oh, that's nonsense. That's insane. You know, it sounds like sounds like it's a little dig at the people who might, you know, that, I think she's getting mad because she's getting sued all the time.
Uh-huh. Sushi.
So that might be, you know, yeah.
It's new meaning for sushi, yeah.
Right?
Well, the bad news this week was that they wanted to get an injunction against the accessible taxis being put into service, and the court didn't allow it.
Yeah, I just caught that. I mean, you're always, you know, yelling at me for like not reading the news you send me.
Yeah,
but this is a big deal. So I guess
word I got was don't worry, it's only the top of the first inning.
Right. No, they appeal this stuff right and left. I mean, here's the problem.
Yeah.
That somebody told me, very higher up, they said, listen, you got to get these cases out of the city and out of the state. Once you get out of the city and once you get out of the state, it's so political in New York.
Yeah.
They got their hooks into everything that if you're going to try and get a reversal of a decision regarding handicap accessible cabs,
right?
Good luck.
Well,
but I mean, the fact of the matter is. They had a good case. They're also saying, why should we be the only car on the road doing this? Why isn't Uber, why are the other cars doing this? It's only everything is like keep hammering away at the yellow cabs. And that's what makes me crazy.
Well, it all has to do not with the fact that we don't want to service the handicapped. It has to do with the value of the business once the handicapped vehicles are put into service, such as nobody wants to drive them. So what value does your business have if nobody wants to use it? None of the workers want to use it, I should say. Okay.
Well, the cab drivers, right now the cab drivers love driving the Prius, the little tiny Prius cab, because they get, like at JFK, they don't get paid for luggage. They get a measly amount of money for handicap fares. And with the tiny Prius, you're basically getting the same flat rate as a guy driving this huge van.
Mm-hmm.
And the huge van has the big van has more maintenance costs. And, you know, the other thing is a lot of these cabbies aren't exactly gym rats where they're working out every day. It is physical labor to transport the handicap. And some of these cabbies, you get a guy who's like 70 or 80 years old driving a cab. I mean, he's like a step away from a wheelchair himself.
That's true.
So who's gonna carry him into the cab when his back goes out?
Look. Let's talk about the types of vehicles that the accessible taxis can be. There are two choices, but personally, I'm not clear on who has what choice. There's the MV1, which happens to be a much superior vehicle than the Nissan converted wheelchair accessible car. Okay.
Well, what also makes it a superior vehicle is that the medallion owner gets a check for $14,000 if he buys one. Does that make it superior in your mind?
The price of the MV1, from what I've been hearing, is $33,000, and the TLC will reimburse $14,000, so that makes the price $19,000. And the owners and the MV1 company, the company that makes them, will be paying the drivers an additional, I think, $150 a week to help them with their maintenance. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
That's $7,500 a year.
So you're saying on the first year, theoretically, you buy it for $33,000, you're getting $21,500 back. So you're like net $12,000. For a brand new car, that's not bad, bro.
Well, I don't know how they can do it, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's like they're almost giving the car away.
Well, the thing is, the $14,000, I think, is coming from the Handicap Accessible Vehicle Fund.
That's right. But still, they're giving back. They're giving back. So they're selling it for $33,000, and they're giving back $7,500. Okay.
Right.
So they're
giving back 14. I think the 14.
No, the 14 is coming from the TLC fund. So that's not coming from the company that's selling it. Okay, but the 7,500 is coming from the company that sells it.
Oh, okay. Because the company that sells it, I'm guessing they're saying, listen, by the time we open up like a shop and get mechanics and blah blah blah, it's gonna be so much money to do that. We might as well just give them something to get it fixed.
But here's what's not clear, and maybe somebody out there in taxi land can clear this up. I believe that since the contract with Nissan requires you to buy a taxi of tomorrow, that only those who have handicapped medallions can buy the MV1, and the rest have to buy the Nissan. I'm not sure of that. I'm saying it here on the radio show, but maybe somebody out there can clear me up on this situation.
Okay. There was I was driving back right after the snow in my Camry X, and there was a guy hailing me in the street, a little, and I do mean little, and I do mean old lady, standing next to the, right by the LaGuardia Community College on the ramp going under the bridge. So I said, come on, and she's like, I'm helping her through the snow, she's moving real slow, and me and there was a great black guy worked there helping her. And I said to myself, Jesus, don't let this poor woman fall into the snow. Because they're like glass. You know, anything happens in the snow with the ice, and she's got sneakers on, I'm saying, oh, my God. Eventually, we get her into the cab. We take her over the bridge into the city. I take her. And I said, excuse me, miss, where's the accessorite? Don't you have someone to pick you up? She goes, oh, yes, then he was 2 hours late, and I finally gave up. So I'm going to need a receipt and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, how do you get out here? And the teacher goes, the accessory picks me up, and usually there's like two or three other people if we go here. And I said to myself, what a racket. I mean, here they are chiseling the cabbies about handicapped vehicles. Meanwhile, accessory is charging like $40, $50, $60 per person for a car to take people from Manhattan into Queens. So I think that's what the city has a problem with, is that they're fed up with getting clipped for $60 per person per ride, but now they turn around and they want to chisel the cabbies with cars and they don't want to pay. So finally, they've loosened up the purse strings. They're going to give the cab drivers some money to pick up people who are disabled. And it's about time, because it makes me sick, because a lot of these cabbies, they're not great physical specimens, as you probably know, just like I know. I'm wondering if they can physically handle helping a person in the snow with a wheelchair and all this stuff, because some of these guys are like a bad taco away from death themselves.
Yeah, well, I personally always help the handicapped, but I'm not physically fit. Even if I was still, if I was still driving, I'm not physically fit to handle all of these wheelchair people. Okay.
Right.
You know.
Right. This is what
all
I
right?
say. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, there's got to be some liability things in there. Let's say a guy is a cab driver who went to the wheelchair class, which I went through, which is like a joke, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then he's helping this woman in a wheelchair in the snow, and he drops her, she breaks her hip. Who gets sued, the city or the cab driver, or the cab?
Good question, right?
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now, Mike, a couple other things. Let's get off the wheelchair subject, okay?
Yes.
There was an article in Cranes this week, okay? Is Uber to blame for gridlock shock? Recently released city study said ride sharing wasn't to blame, a contradiction of earlier research. It appears that there was already a study done, okay? And the source is the NYC mayor's office, Charles Kamenoff, the New York Times, okay? And he shows a study where Uber was blamed for 40% of the influence of the slow traffic.
Right.
Okay.
All
right. So basically what this is saying is that the other study was complete BS.
Well, let me say, it's ironic because the study came out right around the same time as all the hoopla with the Iowa caucus. And when I saw that city $2 million study, I said, you'd probably have to go to Iowa to see more bullshit than that study told the public. To say that Uber had nothing to do with the increased traffic is a lie, in my opinion. I mean,
well, I don't know what else to call it, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be kidding me. And a lot of these cars don't wait for calls. They're like creeping around and trying to get in zones and trying to go from a no-surge zone into a surge zone But they're never sitting. They're always just like creeping along, going 2 or 3 miles an hour. And I know this disaster that was happening at LaGuardia right after the snow, a lot of it was just Uber cars, not even in the lot. They were just stalling to wait for an app call to come out so they wouldn't have to go through the entire airport. and they wound up blocking traffic. So I don't know who's running the show, but it's just really become excruciatingly painful to drive in Manhattan and to make a living driving a cab. I'm still trying to figure out why the city of New York blew off 1,400 medallion sales for these knuckleheads at Uber. Who was the genius who did that?
Well, it's really been becoming obvious that Uber is running the show. Okay?
The tail is wagging the dog.
Because there was another story this week about how when de Blasio was pushing the, and, you know, the city council was pushing for a cap on Uber, how Uber went running to the governor, okay, yeah, telling them, governor, you gotta help us out here. You gotta get them off our backs. Okay.
Well, listen, take two. I saw that briefly. What is that? Take two. Go ahead, from the top. You.
There was a story about how when the Mayor de Blasio and the city council were pushing for a cap on the Uber vehicles back in June, and the next thing you knew, Cuomo was there. Well, Uber sent them there.
That's sickening. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's really bizarre. And then by doing that, these Uber drivers, I don't know if they get them out of S&M dungeons or where they get these guys, because they're always getting their prices cut, and the Uber guys wanted the cap also. The Uber drivers wanted a cap on vehicles, because according to Beta V, she was like talking to Uber guys, and they said they had too many cars, they weren't making the money they did when they first started, and Uber doesn't care, because Uber just wants to flood the streets in the world with cars. And yet they're 20 and 30
percent. I don't understand why. You know, Uber obviously has no idea what the hell they're doing. Okay?
Thank God.
All right? No, seriously. Yeah. You know, I mean, they could be in New York and they could run a very good business if they kept control of what they were doing. Why are they reducing fares? They're reducing fares because they're desperate. Okay? They could have a set number of cars out there. They could cap their own cars. Okay, they don't need the city to tell them to cap the cars. They could say, you know, 10,000 cars works very well. We make plenty of money. Nobody complains, and we'll hire people, or you know, then they are employees. Let's face it. All right, we'll hire people as we need them, but we won't have more than 10,000 cars or a set number, and that'll give us all the business we need, and that'll keep the drivers happy. Okay.
Yeah. No. There's a lot of math. So you and me, we're math people, whether
right.
we like it or not.
Right.
The yellow cab business. I think the guys who make a living in the cab business, you just wind up being good at math, because every waking second, it's math in your face.
Yeah, you're counting the money all day.
Yeah, in our dreams, yes.
Yeah.
Before Uber, we were able
to. Now you're counting the losses.
Right, now I'm counting the bills. So, but the point is, if Uber just would have done it like with halfway decently for their own drivers, they said, okay, listen, fellas, something about, okay, we'll cap the vehicles, but we're going to cap the vehicles. They're going to give us something back, negotiate. But they said, oh, no, we're just going to keep flooding the streets with cars. And I've talked to some cab drivers. They said these car dealers, they've sold the same car 4 and 5 times. Like one Uber driver gets sick of it and leaves, he sells the car to another Uber driver. So it's a very strange situation. And Governor Cuomo and the state legislator passed 1,000 wheelchair accessible vehicle medallions that they could have sold for $1 billion a piece. So $1 billion goes down the brain, down the drain for these knuckleheads with this Uber stuff.
Mike,
it's crazy.
I'm just going to say something. Sooner or later, the truth will come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
What really is going on behind closed doors? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And talking about closed doors. Let's look at Philadelphia for a second, okay? There are some news stories out of Philadelphia that are very interesting. Uber is complaining that the parking authority, which is the equivalent of the TLC here in New York, right? The Philadelphia Parking Authority is conspiring with the taxi owners to push Uber out of Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They say, here's an article. Uber says Philadelphia Parking Authority is untrustworthy. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Parking Authority worked with taxis to stop Uber.
Yay! What's the problem? No problem, right?
Well, it's sort of like the opposite here.
Yeah. So, and they're on strike because they should have been there in the first place.
Uber is working illegally in Philadelphia, you know, and all the parking authority is saying, and the taxi drivers in Philadelphia are saying, is they want Uber if they don't want to keep Uber from operating, they just want them to operate like they do in New York, be licensed, be fingerprinted, okay?
Yeah, I got, you know, before I forget, there's another little thing with Uber in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I had a guy in the cab. He goes, yeah, you know, these Uber cars are all over, and the other thing is they come in from New Jersey. I said, what do you mean from New Jersey? Like, on a trip, he goes, no, guys who have cars in New Jersey come into Philadelphia to work over the state line as an Uber driver with a New Jersey car. How's that grab you?
It grabs me very strongly, you know. It
grabs you in the wrong place.
In the wrong place, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing we got to talk about, the world community. I know the London cabbies are having a big anti-Uber demonstration, apparently, on February 10th, I think. And then the French cabbies went nuts last week against Uber. And the French government sat down with the cabbies. So these cabbies, I don't know what the New York cabbies are waiting for, but apparently France and London, they're going to bat. And Toronto. Remember the guy getting dragged by the car in Toronto?
Yeah.
So it's a worldwide problem, and you know, we know the saying is like, first they came for the cabbies, then they came for me. That's probably what this is happening, you know?
So what else you got, Mike?
I don't know. That's a lot. Well, anyway, the other thing is I haven't seen our friends from Bandwagon out of Kennedy Airport because I think they were just catching a lot of hell for no money. And they had these guys in big red like sweeper coats, you know, like the in the old west, and they were hooking up group rides at Kennedy Airport when you didn't need a group ride. So they kept like hounding the people online for a cab. Like, excuse me, sir, you want to share the cab? You want to share the cab? And charging them a $5 fee, from what I've heard, and then they weren't telling the people that the second person has to pay the meter on the shared cab. So I think they're out. I haven't seen them in a while, and a lot of cabbies said I just saw them for like a day or two. And the dispatchers were getting mad at the Bandwagon folks because they're starting to feel the heat about, like, you know, maybe they are after their job as well.
Oh, you know something?
So that was a little loose.
There are a lot of these fly-by-night app people around. You know, they keep coming up with new app ideas, okay? All right, and most of them just plain and simple don't work. Like, there was an app company, and I don't know what happened to them, but they called me on the phone a couple of months ago. They wanted to start an app for drivers to meet in the city, you know, to switch shifts, okay? You know,
yeah.
I couldn't figure out what were they talking about. I mean, you know, if you're supposed to meet me, say, at 45th Street and 10th Avenue by the Hess Station to take over for the night shift, I mean, what do you need an app for that for?
Oh, that's another little bit of news. Is the Hess Station on 45th and 10th is gone.
Oh, really? Since when?
Since about a month ago. All of a sudden, I went there to fill up, and it's, sorry, closed. And I said,
another bathroom gone.
Another bathroom and gas station gone. Well, right now, I think the cabbie's going to have to start wearing diapers.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It was unbelievable when I left a couple of years ago and stopped driving. You know, I mean, you know, even the alleys were getting built, you know?
Well, the only problem we had back in the days was finding a good... every now and then it's good to be a man as far as going to the bathroom's concerned. But you had abandoned buildings. Now every square inch of real estate is gone. So you don't even have your little, as they call them, the piss hut.
I'll tell you one of my favorite spots was... 58th Street between the West Side Highway and 11th Avenue.
Yes, that was a beauty.
Yeah.
And I remember going back in like the 80s, Everybody, I don't want to blame the cabbies, but everybody used to take a leak on the ramp by Grand Central.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah, and there was so much urine being, like, emitted there.
Yeah.
That they had, like, there was, like, a salt pile of, like, the salt that, like, stripped away from the actual urine in the corner. Like, a salt, like, about 6-inch high pile of, like, urine salt.
I hope
nobody's eating breakfast while listening to the show, but now there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. I mean, I had to join a gym to go to the bathroom. So there's a gym I joined for $10 a month, and it works like a charm.
But the problem isn't necessarily that you don't have a place. It's that you won't be at that place when you need to go.
Right.
Okay.
So.
You know, another.
We're talking about just taking a leak.
Yeah, right.
What about if you have to drop a deuce, God help you.
Well, you know, I try to control what I eat so that I could get through my shift without having that happen. You know, but there were a few spots I had. Tell me, how's the taxi stand on 77th and First next to the Green Kitchen?
It's still there, but it's always filled with cabs, and it's like it's very annoying because you get guys who, instead of popping in, you know, they go in their Green Kitchen, pop in, get their coffee and data, and pop out. These guys are nesting with their cars in these taxi stands. They're leaving it overnight. They're leaving it to watch TV, and it's a real crisis for basic human function.
Is it the same at the taxi stand by the Mansion Diner on 86th in New York?
Actually, the Mansion Diner 86th in New York is a little more activity. So you can get a space there, and I don't want to put the whammy in it, but if you park like next to the fire hydrant for like a couple minutes, they usually don't bother you, but obviously if they do bother you, it's $115. So you don't want to be that guy. You know?
Well, you know, this is one problem that the city never chose to address, okay? No matter how many times I wrote about it in Mini Press when I used to write for Mini Press, okay? Nobody cared. No. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Okay?
Right.
I mean, you know, Commander Joshi sits in an office, and when she needs to go to the toilet, there's one there. And she
probably has her own little office bathroom. She probably has like a commissioner private bathroom.
Right, and so does everybody else at the TLC, the Department of Traffic, okay? But,
yeah.
You know, it's not only the taxi drivers, it's anybody out there in a car.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Anybody listening to the show, like, the last place that I've seen to A, buy gasoline, and B, use the bathroom is the little gas station on Hudson Street just before 14th Street, like, also known as 8th Avenue and like 12th Street.
I didn't know there was a bathroom there.
Yeah, well, it used to be like a disaster.
Yeah.
But now the guy got like he fixed up the bathroom, got a brand new lock, and if you're buying like over $20 of gas, it's free. If you're not buying gas, you have to pay $2 to use the bathroom. And he's got people paying $2 right and left. He's a genius. He's making like $200-$300 a day just letting people use this little funky little bathroom.
You know, if you happen to be in Queens, okay, I'll tell you a good bathroom, okay? On 39th Street and Skillman Avenue, there's a gas station there. It's a gas station and a little shop, you know, a convenience store in there.
Uh-huh.
You know the one I'm talking about?
I know exactly the one you're talking about, yes.
In the back. Walk to the back of the store. You have a very nice bathroom there.
Okay, well, it's... I don't know if that's... I think what the problem is a lot of people, it's such a personal issue. But at the same time, we're all adults. We're all adults, and we all have the basics.
I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't need to go to the bathroom. Okay, so it's not that personal to discuss where you're going to do it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Okay, you know, yeah. I mean, it's more unpersonal when you have to do it out on the street because you can't hold it in anymore. Okay.
Well, I just know. Speaking of JFK, I know the bathrooms in the main line of JFK are I mean, you can take a number one, but if you're taking a number two, it's disgusting. Always has been, always will be.
What and about LaGuardia?
Let me just say, the mini mall at JFK is great. I mean, it's like the Four Seasons in there. So if you really have to drop a number two, you got to use the bathroom in the mini mall at JFK because it looks like a hotel in there. It's great.
Uh-huh.
And at LaGuardia, if you're at American Airlines, they have a porta potty, which is disgusting. And if you're at Delta, you can go into the terminal. The bathroom is good. And if you're at the main lot, they have like a jailhouse bathroom where there's like a piece of plastic over the stall and cinder block walls. You feel like you're you're at Rikers. So they got all these weird little places.
Well, I know a lot of cabbies have secret locations. You know, I've probably been in them all. Okay.
Oh, well, one last thing is, I was at JFK, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking to the guy came in with the porta potty truck because he works to clean the porta potties, right? So he has a vacuum, and he's all set to vacuum out the porta potty. I think it was the middle of August. Disgusting! It stank. It was overflowing. So, of course, me trying to be a nice guy, I look at him and say, hey, how's it going? He gave me a look like he wanted to kill me. It's like, how's it going? How the bleep do you think it's going? I'm guessing he didn't win the Powerball, you know?
Yeah. You know, if you're coming out of JFK, okay, and you go up the Van Wyck and get out at before Queens Boulevard, get out of Jamaica Avenue. Right? And you make a right and a left onto the very beginning of Queens Boulevard. Right?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's sort of like a deserted street right in there. Okay?
Right.
That was one of my locations at one time.
Oh, man.
Okay, where you could take a leak. All right? And if you're going a little bit further, there's a diner on the left.
Yeah.
You know that diner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Good place to stop. Grab you want to grab something to eat. You grab something to eat, and they have a bathroom in there. Okay. And by the way, I'm gonna sign off now. It's a little shortened version here. And I just want to say that today is my 68th birthday.
Hold on. What time are you gonna be here? Do you get here all day? Okay. How much was it? My beaded seat is here.
Who?
My beaded seat.
Oh.
I'll talk. Let me just bring it. Yeah.
Mike is a JFK, folks, okay? You know, he's dealing with the beaded seat guy. All right.
Leo has just arrived with the beaded seat that he laid out the money for, so.
Yeah.
You know. So that's good news. On behalf of my butt and every other part of my body, I appreciate that.
Okay, but today is my 68th birthday. Okay.
Happy birthday, Abe.
You know, you only have one birthday. It's the 68th anniversary of my birthday.
Well, you know what they say: the first 68 years are always the toughest. All right.
Well, I got this neck pain. You know, I think it's arthritis. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, maybe it came from all the turning left and right with my head. You know, the seeing if the traffic was clear. Okay.
Right.
Interesting
you got the neck pain, because you already have a pain in the ass who doesn't do the show on time. That's me. Right?
That's you. Yes. Yes. Mike has been AWOL. He has been AWOL from the show lately. Okay. And for those who don't know what AWOL means, it's absent without official leave.
Right. That's okay. Me. I wear that like a badge of honor.
Did you know that, Mike, that they all stood for that?
After with Ali, yes. You get shot for that.
No, you get shot for desertion.
Desertion?
Yeah, AWOL is just AWOL is just a non-judicial punishment, okay?
Right.
All right. Desertion is another story, all right? And
so you're going to tell me I better watch my step from now on.
Well, you know, I was in the Army. I was in the U.S. Army, and we had the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is far worse, or maybe not, than the TLC Tribunal. Okay.
Yeah. At least in the TLC Tribunal, they just shoot you. Oh, okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. Thank you very much. Is there a demonstration tomorrow? That's what Leo says. I'll talk to you about that later. All right, so, somebody says there's going to be a demonstration tomorrow.
I haven't heard. But they should demonstrate every day.
Yeah, well, look, let me tell you something. The demonstration worked in France. The demonstration worked in Canada. They brought these people to the table, and now Canada wants to throw Uber out, and France wants to throw Uber out, and they're throwing Uber people in jail in France, and Philadelphia is having demonstrations, and they're throwing Uber out. So at what point does the New York City taxi driver driving yellow cabs get it together and maybe make a little noise in his own best interest? I don't know.
Well, you know something, Mike? According to a piece I read in the media, Uber lost $438 million in the third quarter.
Wow. Okay. In a quarter.
Yeah, right. Okay, something like that. Okay, so I think, you know, Uber is in trouble. Okay.
You know, this is the thing with Uber. I mean, they only have X amount of seed money because they got, I think, like $6 billion in seed money. And if they're bleeding to death $1.5 billion a year, like in a year, and this was before all the other apps came in. So eventually these Uber investors, they say, listen, we're throwing $6 billion at you. What you got? It's like, well, tell you the truth, we lost $1.5 billion this year. Probably going to lose $1.5 billion. It's like, so what happens after that? You're going to try and tell people you're worth $61 billion if you're losing $1.5 billion a year? What are you, out of your mind?
I mean, I think they're worth negative $61 billion.
$61 million rupees.
I don't know. You know, I don't know, Mike. You know, I never really thought about this stuff, but, you know, it just seems to me that if a company's losing that kind of money and has to keep borrowing money, you know, or not borrowing money, but looking for people to invest in them, you know, at what point do the investors say, hey, what are you, nuts?
Well, it's like anything else. It's like... If you were to lend me $1,000, which would kind of be like the end of the world, but if you were to lend me $1,000, and then I kept coming back and said, well, listen, I lost $150, $200 this year. Can you give me another $1,200 on to make this work? You'd be like, well, listen, I got to see some of that $1,000 back. I got to see at least some of that $1,000 coming back to me. I'm not going to give you another $1,000, and you're telling me you're losing money. I'm not going to give you another $1,000 if you're telling me you made $1,000. Then I'll feel a little bit better. But don't come back to me saying I need more money when you haven't paid me anything and you're losing money.
Okay, so let me just ask you one final question before we sign off. Uber started their price decrease Friday morning. Okay, now you didn't work Friday or Saturday, but you spoke to somebody who did, right?
Yes.
How did he do?
You know what it is? The thing that concerns me is you have some people in the taxi business, and you know who they are, the usual suspects.
Right.
They just cry all the time. They cry all the time. They don't have the money. It was very slow. You know, like typical, like...
Well, that'll happen on New Year's Eve with some people, you know? I'm asking you, what do you know about how the taxis did over the weekend?
You know what? They're chirping around. They're not grim-faced. They're like... I can tell by the vibe of the cabbies, they didn't do horribly. And, oh, my driver, I'm a moron. I'm an idiot.
That's what I meant.
He did okay.
He said he did fine, he said, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hit him. I don't want to say how much I charged him on the air, but he made at least as much as I charged him. Let's put it that way.
Right. So in other words, none of the people went running to Uber because of their fare decrease. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You might get a loose one. Okay, so,
Mike, pay attention to the show, will you, please? You know, I mean,
I'm trying.
You're at the airport, you know, I mean, I kind of wish I was there with you right now, okay?
You're having jealousy, yes.
Yeah, I want to get behind the wheel. I can't take this retirement anymore, all right?
You go nuts after a while, right?
I want to pick up a fare at JFK and take him Atlantic Avenue to Flatbush, make a right, and go over to Manhattan Bridge.
Yeah, exactly. And then you want to get someone going to Bushwick at 4 a.m. You forget that part.
Well, sure, I don't mind that. You know, I never refused a fare. No, every fare was a good fare. Okay.
Well, you know, you never know these days who's getting in your car. I mean, I've had guys run out at me in suits. like the yuppie scum running out of the cab on a $40 cab ride. Then I'll have a guy wearing saggy jeans going to the Bronx, and he'll hit me with a $10 tip. He goes, "Oh, thanks for picking me up, my man." So you don't know.
No, you can't tell. You can't tell. All right.
Yeah.
But they go. But when they go to the Bronx, they say, "Yo, I'm going to the Bronx." You know. You ever notice that if they're going to Brooklyn, it's, "Can you take me to Brooklyn?" Or if they're going to Queens, they say, "Queens, can you take me to Queens?" But when they're going to the Bronx, it's, "Hey, yo, man, like I'm going up to the Bronx."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I noticed the other thing is they don't. A lot of folks, if they're going to a sketchy location, they never say where they're going outside the cab. They just plop down, boom. Then they tell you,
"Yo, man, I'm going up to the Bronx. Yeah, can you take me there?" You know.
Hey, now you're gonna jinx me. Stop saying that so much.
The Bronx is okay. You know, you just run the hell out of there when you get there, right?
Oh, you know. Let me tell you. Right. Exactly. Well, I had a guy. Now there's the Bronx and there's the Bronx. I mean, you go from JFK to the Bronx. If you go to Van Cortlandt Park, North Bronx, that's like $70 on the meter. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
No, that's not the Bronx.
Let me just clarify. You know, Nancy Soria of the Green Cabs. You know, she listens to our show, and she works the Bronx all day and all night. Okay. And
in the green car.
Right. And you know, I want to give her credit. Okay, and I want to say that the green cars have really gotten screwed by the Uberites. Okay,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. And they pushed for these green cars. That you know, they went crazy for these green cars, and suddenly there's no support for these green cars. You know, help these people out. You know, get the Uberites out of the Bronx, please. You know, control them. You know, let the green cars do what they were supposed to do. There's another, you know, 12,000 or so that permits that weren't sold.
Oh man!
You know?
Wow! Well, that's what happened. They all went to Uber. The green car guys went straight to Uber, and they got stuck with. This is such a ridiculous thing. We're going to pick this up again. The line is moving at JFK. Abe, glad to be back on the air. So thank you for your patience.
All right, Mike. So we'll wrap it up, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
Soon, I hope. And we're going to look into all the demonstrations and stuff that's going on for the next show, because there's a lot going on. Thank you to the French cabbies. Thank you to the London cabbies. Thank you for the Toronto cabbies for stepping up, and the Philadelphia cabbies. For also doing the right thing and getting Uber out of their fair town. Hopefully we'll have some updates on those.
Okay. All right, Mike.
All right, catch you later, Abe.
All right, bye.